My First Dungeon is sponsored by Tabletop Bookshelf. Tabletop Bookshelf is genuinely one of my very favorite places online to buy indie TTRPGs. They have a fantastic selection from some of my favorite designers and excellent customer service. And as part of their sponsorship of this season of Perils and Princesses, they are generously offering one of the biggest discounts they have ever offered, 15% off Perils and Princesses, the adventure module Sweet Revenge, or any other game in their store if you use our exclusive promo code PERIL15. That's PERIL15 to get 15% off. But not only are you going to get 15% off, you'll be letting the fine folks at Tabletop Bookshelf know that we were the ones who sent you there. And this is incredibly important. It lets Tabletop Bookshelf know that their investment in us and in actual play is a worthwhile one. It helps them grow their business and also helps us approach more sponsors in the future so we can continue making My First Dungeon better each and every season. So go to tabletopbookshelf.com, use code PERIL15, and get 15% off your next favorite game. And with that, enjoy the show. Celine's voice rings out as you see the dark chocolate armor reconstituting around her, sliding up like tendrils up her neck. You see her struggling, her body fighting against the sugary armor that is entombing her. The room you stand in is a menagerie, a strange museum-like collection of candy constructs developed by Dulcinea, encased in glass displays. Not creatures infected by the curse, but rather the things that she knew would come of this curse. On one side, you see a licorice serpent coiling around a pillar. You see posed on its hind legs in a mighty roar, a gummy bear that immediately makes you think of Boris and his mother. But you know that this is just a construct rather than a bear transformed. Above you, you see the white chocolate raven that you had met in the study, now perched on a high beam, squawking down at you. And in the back, on a large pedestal, you see a chocolate dragon's egg covered in red and black scales.
No. Oh no.
Oh Lord. Not a dragon's egg.
The snake, the bear, and the dragon's egg in this place are inert. They are not moving. They seem to be almost stuffed, displayed like ornamentation. Only three things move in this room. The white chocolate raven, fluttering its wings and cawing down at you. The candy-horned unicorn, corrupted and ready to charge. And Celine, your friend, trapped in the armor of the Dark Chocolate Knight. I'm gonna need everyone to roll initiative.
Oh,
yeah, I bet.
Oh, no.
I bet. Oh, fuck.
Okay. One more time for the road. This is a D6, high and low.
This is a D20. You're going to be testing Grace.
Grace, okay.
And do we get advantage because we are surprising them by kicking the door open?
No.
That was a good try, Abby.
But they were so surprised.
So surprised.
Celine did not hear us coming.
Going around the table, Geraldine, pass or fail?
Oh, I failed big time.
Adelaide.
Pass.
Winnie.
Pass.
And Amira.
I got a nat 20.
The wrong time to get a nat 20.
Oh, shut up, Brian.
You're in the wrong game, my friend. Ugh. Adelaide and Winnie, this kicks off to you. You see your friend getting entombed by this dark chocolate armor. She is fighting against it and is looking at you, her eyes kind of wild, as you stand in the doorway to this room. What do the both of you do as you start this encounter?
As Adelaide sees Celine kind of getting reformed into the formerly super hot white dark chocolate knight that she now knows is like a prison.
Yeah.
Hotness is a prison.
Hotness is a prison. If you learn nothing else, hotness is a prison. And in fact, she turns to Celine and says, oh no, hotness is a prison. So Celine is like, does she have any part of her still visible, or is she like completely chocolated?
Her face and like part of her neck is still visible. Everything else is in dark chocolate. Okay. And you see the way that she is straining, you see that the chocolate armor has already like raised its sword to attack, and she is holding back its attack.
Oh no, man.
As like the weapon is kind of forming, Adelaide just kind of runs behind like a bookcase or something, like takes cover.
As you start moving, Celine immediately yells at you, goes, no, wait, stop. It's not safe. The floor, it's trapped. All of these things will come to life. You've got to be careful.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Oh, damn.
Oh, so if I move towards a thing, it will come alive and kill me. Okay, floor is lava rules, right? Is there any kind of like a chair or like a table that I can like hop on?
You see there are bookcases and like there are the pedestals and like cases that are like enclosing these animals. You also see Celine looks, he goes, there's a path on the floor. She is tracing her eyes along a number of tiles, giving you like a rough path of places you can go. I'll tell you mechanically how this will work. If you want to jump around and not touch the floor, that's going to be like grace checks to try to get around. The floor has certain areas on it that you cannot go for fear of awakening other creatures. Basically, you can move around pretty freely, but if you get attacked and get hit, you're going to have to make an additional grace check to try to like keep your balance and not fall in one of these spaces.
Oh, okay.
Hopscotch rules.
If you start engaging in combat with anything, you may get knocked into a space that you don't want to be.
Into one of those squares.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, Brian, question for you.
Hit me.
If I snap my fingers and articulate that to Brownie, can Brownie follow with scent the markers, the squares that he knows that the Dark Knight has been following?
Yeah, 100%.
Ooh, smart.
Like to either give us a plus something or an advantage die or something to those rolls?
I'll either let you do kind of like an advantage roll on some kind of check you want to do, or if you want, like Brownie kind of has his own, you know, motion to go. If you want him to go along a space, I'll say you communicate that to Brownie. Brownie has a very clear idea of where he can and cannot go.
Okay.
As long as he's not getting hit, he'll follow the same rule. So you can have him go somewhere and do a task for you if you want him to do that.
Okay.
I'm waiting for Brownie to go because I see that Winnie has this idea and I'm like, yeah, this is all your fault. You figure it out.
Dog. Bark. I love the tag team here. I love the tag team. Bark. Okay. So the second the door opens and we see that it's Celine and I'm hearing her voice, I think there's this really uncomfortable step forward and step back that happens where I'm trying to retreat from this situation just emotionally, but I'm also trying to move forward through it tactically. I'm feeling like the sense of shame that somehow I missed this. How did I miss this? Usually I'm the one that keeps up with all the data and the intelligence and the predictions, and I didn't see this coming at all. And so I'm grappling with that. And I think what that's going to do is winds up bringing me down on all fours. So almost it's that grief and that shame and that hurt. I mean, we're looking at a dead friend standing directly in front of us. So that's going to bring me down to all fours. And while Celine is communicating with Adeline, I'm going to growl towards Brownie to find the path.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to whistle. And I'm going to stretch out three fingers towards that bird that's up in the air. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to finally knock off my power level one, since we haven't done it yet.
Hell yeah.
Give a little whistle for my special abilities. And I want to summon flocks of birds to surround that one and literally just mob it and direct its traffic back to us.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, get jumped, bird.
Get jumped, bird.
Swarm the bird.
Swarm the bird, yeah.
Oh my god.
Okay, tell me how many dice are you going to be using? You've got up to three.
I mean, we're late stage right now. Let's go ahead and do two.
Hell yeah. So go ahead and roll. You're going to summon a sum of small animals. So go ahead and roll those two dice for me.
So I'm rolling 2d6.
Yeah.
Okay.
Four and a one.
Okay.
4-1. Okay, so one of those gift dice is going to be depleted, so set that aside.
Okay.
It's a total of 5 birds coming to your aid.
Star formation!
Star formation! Tactical crows start coming
Tactical
in.
Tactical crows!
Yes. A mercuration.
Yes. There we go.
Winnie, you give a little whistle, and you all of a sudden hear coming through the slatted windows that you guys had seen from below. Birds start flying in.
Yes.
However, Winnie, this is deep in the realm of the Tanglewood and in the deepest area of corruption. Can you roll a D4 for me? This is going to tell you how many...
Oh, I hope this is fun.
How many are corrupted?
No.
Oh, I hope this is fun.
Ooh.
It's a 1.
It's a okay. 1. Okay.
Could have been more colorful.
Okay.
So basically, one of these could become a problem. It is currently under your control.
Oh, that is delicious. So like of the 5 birds, one of them comes in with like candy corruption on it.
I'm going to roll a luck check every time we move to the enemy's roll. 1 through 10, it's going to attack you guys instead of where you're targeting.
Oh, no.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Oh,
okay.
You have these birds. They start encircling Ghost, this white chocolate raven. Ghost is kind of like, what the fuck? Guys, come on. We're on the same team here. Do you want them to attack Ghost, or are you just trying to like encircle him and keep him under control?
What I would love to do is the encircle and then controlling his movement where Ghost is being drawn towards us. So if I point the crows towards Ghost, I'm going to like close my finger almost like you would see like tendrils clamping down, and then I'm going to draw it towards me with the indication is like close that in and bring it here.
Hell yeah. On your next turn, Ghost will be within grabbing distance as all of these ravens and birds are beginning to like peck at Ghost, not in like a damaging way, just as in like a needling, like get off your perch, motherfucker. Like get down.
Yes, they're hurting.
They're just hurting him slowly down towards you. And you just see this white chocolate raven. Dude, what the fuck? Come on, man. We play poker every Thursday.
He absolutely owes one of those birds money. We're just, that's canon now.
Yeah.
For sure.
Dude, no, I said I'd pay you next week. You see the white chocolate raven and a number of feathers start to fall off as well and are littering the floor.
Good.
Nice.
Adelaide, was there anything else you wanted to do on your turn?
Since the bird situation seems to be taken care of, I'm going to use a virtue test to do my alluring, where I'm going to try to de-escalate the progress of the chocolate armor. And so with that one, you gain advantage on virtue tests to calm, de-escalate, or soothe or delight a person or creature through song or verse. Ah, damn, I was going to use close-up magic. When you perform...
Hey, I will let you... You're speaking to a magician here. I will let you use close-up magic.
Tell your stories, boo-boo. Tell
them. Just distract it with coin tricks.
That's a form of performing. We're still pretty close to Celine, right?
Yeah, you're probably like 15 feet away.
Okay. Using the performance power of close-up magic, Adelaide does that thing where you tuck your thumb into your hand and then put the other thumb so it looks like you separated your hand.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Celine, just look right here. This is great for an audio podcast. She like reaches behind her own ear and like pulls out a coin. She's like doing as many like kind of close up magic tricks as like she can. Are there any cards around or anything?
Wait, how'd you do that?
Whoa.
Hold on. Everyone shut up. Adelaide's doing magic.
This is why Amira and I go after the enemies. We are distracted.
Yeah.
I pull like flowers out of like my sleeve and I'm like,
my God.
Presenting it.
You keep making these motions and you see that Celine in this, actually go ahead and make your check first. Go ahead and make your, I'll say whatever virtue chest you'd like. I'd say this could be grace or wits probably.
I'm going to roll, I think, yeah, this is going to be a wits check.
Hell yeah. And you've got advantage on this because you, because you're using your alluring feat.
Hey,
I got a 3.
So Adelaide, you start to do this like flourish of various things. You see Celine is in a moment of panic and is like trying to force the armor to not move. You see her look at you and be like, Adelaide, what the fuck?
Yeah!
But as it's happening, you see that the armor seems to have some kind of like ability to sense things as well. Like it is clearly moving on its own accord. Like it is able to sense you. And you see her all of a sudden gain a little bit extra ability to move as the armor itself is entranced a bit.
Hell yeah.
By your close-up magic going on.
Yeah, delighted by close-up magic.
The armor's like, where'd she get those flowers from?
I'm gonna say for this, Celine is basically gonna be making like tests against the armor to see if it's going to attack you this turn. Because okay. It is distracted, she will have advantage on her ability to like try to fight it.
Can I do one more thing since I'm doing magic?
Sure.
Would it be possible? We already established last episode I have a very dumb little hat on from my musical. Can yes. I take it off and pull the corrupted crow out of my hat? Like it just flies out.
You know, that yeah. classic trick.
You're so speaking to who I am as a person. There's a lot of me as a GM who's like, no, I shouldn't let this happen for free. But there's a lot of me as Brian who wants this to happen. Just
like, yeah, yeah.
We need them.
You reach into this comically small hat that has to be like attached with bobby pins. reach in, like a cartoon, this much larger crow is coming out of this very small opening of a hat.
What?
Whoa.
Oh my god, Adelaide, that's so cool. Holy shit.
Oh my god, I've never seen her do that before. That was incredible.
What the hell?
I've been studying, you know, it's you can find a bunch of stuff like in the library, like how to do close-up magic. It's not a big deal, you guys. It's not a big deal. I just like, I heard the girls like it, so.
She's beautiful.
I heard the girls like it.
Can confirm.
Mira and Geraldine are straight up clapping. We have forgotten. We have lost the plot entirely.
Lost the plot entirely.
I watched you make the Earl King simp for you like a little puppy. And let me tell you, this was the hottest thing you've ever done in front of me.
Bravo, yeah. Adelaide. Bravo. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And so how's Celine? How's it doing? Do you need me to get closer? Do you need the close-up magic closer?
I'll be honest. I thought you were just doing some bullshit, but this is helping a little bit. So maybe keep doing it. I don't know. The armor itself is kind of distracted. So there is still like a kind of turn countdown for when this thing will fully take over. But as we move into the enemy's turns, she is going to get to make a check with advantage because of your abilities here to try to resist this armor. Basically, if she succeeds, the armor will not get to make two very strong attacks against you.
Awesome.
She is a very strong princess, but she is more graceful than she is resolute. She has a 10 for resolve. I'm going to be rolling d20 twice.
All right, come on, Celine.
First is a 14.
Come on, Celine. Look at the flowers.
Second is a 2.
Yeah! Look at the flowers,
Celine.
You see Celine brings her arms down close to her chest and drops down to a knee, trying to get this suit of armor into like the worst possible position and trying to give you guys openings as best she can to like if you need to attack this armor and also to make it as difficult as possible for this thing to attack you.
Okay.
Amazing.
The knight is not going to be attacking this turn.
Yes.
However, the unicorn will be.
Oh, no.
Oh, the disrespect.
I forgot.
Ooh. Oh, and the one raven.
And well, the raven. The oh, yeah. Occupied. Oh, and you're a bird. Yes, the corrupted bird.
Yeah. The corrupted bird has been shoved out.
Oh, right. You've got the corrupted bird.
Oh, I have the corrupted bird in my hand. So, yeah, I've got the corrupted bird in my hat.
You're holding the corrupted bird. You've got the corrupted bird in the hat, which I'll say for the moment is restrained.
Good.
I'll give him a check to see if he can escape or something.
I can, like, take the hat, put it upside down, and just put, like, a leg up on it. Yeah, I kind of look like I'm doing the like rum pirate stance.
Oh, the Captain Morgan.
You're Captain Morganing this hat? Okay. It's a little bit underwhelming because the hat is so small.
It's so small.
You don't really get the kind of like, you can't really lean on this leg. You know what I mean?
That's what makes it magical though, guys. Come on now.
It's not super hot. It's just
not super hot.
Just go back to the magic tricks. That was the good part.
Adelaide, because you are the one who's interacting with Dark Chocolate Knight, the unicorn is going to be charging towards you. I'm going to need you to make a roll to avoid. So you're going to be testing grace.
Come on, Adelaide.
Oh, that's an 8.
Huge. Ooh. You move out of the way as this unicorn barrels past you and kind of slams into the wall near Amira, Winnie, and Geraldine. As you guys are kind of like clustered near this entrance, Amira, you see this massive lollipop swirled horn and the eyes looking feral at you.
Ooh. Okay.
Begins to look over towards you and begins to like swing its head and this razor sharp point towards the three of you. Ghost, The raven is going to... What is Ghost going to do? He is currently getting herded by these animals. He is going to make a save to try to avoid them and try to like get away. His save is only 8.
Could he roll at disadvantage because he swarmed?
Yeah.
Maybe would have, but he also rolled a 19. So
never mind. The dice knew.
Okay.
The dice knew.
He is getting pulled towards you. He's going to try to make his move to escape. Immediately fails that. Is going to turn around and make an attack on Winnie.
The disrespect.
Because it's getting pulled directly towards you. Winnie, can you go ahead and make a roll two saves? You're testing grace.
Oh, yeah. I love it. Just as a point of clarity in this system, there's not a fight back mechanic. There's only a dodge is what I'm doing right now.
Yeah. It's always a roll to avoid.
Okay. Ooh, I rolled a 12. Let me look at my grace. Ooh, my grace is a 12.
Huge. You see
Winnie.
Ghost, realizing that he's not going to be able to get away the way he came, dives towards you. You move out of the way, and he flies down and like snaps his beak into the floor. You kind of hear that like as he slams into the floor and begins to like start to move like,
oh, shit. Come on, man. I love that I'm looking down at him, and just at this point, I'm salivating because I'm so angry and so hurt. So, like, while his beak is brrring on the floor, he's got drool falling on his head. Come on, man. What are you doing?
White chocolate feathers are fluttering all around you guys.
Good. Okay. That's what we need.
Good.
I'll give the corrupted bird a roll to try to escape. It's going to roll with disadvantage.
That's fair.
I'm going to say it's a standard bird, so its save is 5. So it's got to roll very well.
Okay.
Suck it, bird.
No, it did not get anywhere close.
It's stuck in that hat.
Close up magic wins again.
But in this tiny hat, you just hear like a little bird voice going,
no, come on. I got to collect my money, man. This guy owes me.
Going to the bottom, Geraldine and Amira, it is your turn.
Well, I know Amira's got her own agenda, and I don't want to get in the way of that.
Did Brownie move forward on the path, sort of giving us a sense of what the path was?
So like Brownie can certainly move forward. Is there a command that you're trying to give to Brownie to like move?
Yeah, it was to follow the path. So
you just want it to map
detail.
It. Okay, copy.
Yeah, like I want him to mark it.
Wait.
Brownie, pee on the path.
Mark it? I'm great with Brownie marking the path.
Oh, that's not what I meant by mark. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Brownie had pulled out a Sharpie and had uncapped it in his mouth and goes, all right. Just pissing a path around this room.
Oh, no.
Puddle by puddle, apparently. Puddle by puddle.
So you have a very clear map. You have a very clear map of the room, though it is a bummer that he mapped all the spaces you should step.
Yeah.
With P.
With P.
It's not my favorite.
He's a good boy.
He's a very good boy.
He's a good boy.
He also, like... He made that piece straight. This is a large room. He made it everywhere.
I'm impressed.
That's a good boy. He has a better aim than most kids do.
Well hydrated.
Well hydrated, you know, great control.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. This is a good boy.
Geraldine knows Amira is probably going to head straight for the unicorn. So I am going to try to make my way across the room towards Celine to either try to... Like, if I can attack the armor without attacking her, or if it's, like, not completed yet, or just sort of diffuse where it's, like, if I can knock the sword out of its hand or something.
Nice.
In this space between her being, like, fully formed again into the Dark Chocolate Knight, if you hit a big thing of armor and there's someone inside it, it's going to hurt her, but it's not necessarily going to, like, damage her. Like, for mechanics' sake, her HP will not go down.
Okay.
But... I think what you're realizing this moment is like you have slew this thing before and it reformed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You are immediately trying to look at like, is there a way I can extricate her from it? And that's the question that you don't quite know. I'll say if you want to roll a wits check to try to like suss out what this is now that you're getting closer, I'll let you do that.
I will do a wits check.
Come on, baby.
Woohoo! That's a 3.
Let's go.
Seen it all before.
As you are moving forward, you step in a puddle of pee. And for whatever reason, your mind flicks back as you kind of like look and hear Amira behind you. You think of Amira splashing water in the face of the town mayor and that effect being particularly like noteworthy or particularly powerful. You recognize chocolate maybe not as affected by water, but chocolate does melt.
Uh-oh.
What if As part of my close-up magic, I have those little flashcards.
Your flash paper?
Yeah, who can make fire?
Yeah, whoa. A flash.
I'll let you come for that on your next round. I'll let you roll for it.
Hey, Celine, I think we could help you if we melt the armor off. It's not going to be comfortable, but it's. I think it might help.
I'm not comfortable now. Whatever you can do will help.
Yep, there we go.
Have you tried taking it off yourself?
Yes, I've tried taking it off. Are you kidding me?
I don't know. I wanted to make sure.
No, I appreciate that. You know, there's no dumb questions. We're in a blue sky phase.
No, there are dumb questions, Celine. We've done this before.
There are a couple of dumb questions.
Okay. Why is everyone saying that after I talk?
Once I'm completely enclosed in this thing, I can't control it at all. So I'm sorry. It wasn't me attacking you. It was me, but it wasn't me. You know what I mean? So, like, sorry.
Yeah, we kicked your ass, though. That was pretty... That sucked for you.
Again, it wasn't me, so you kicked the armor's ass. I could still kick your ass every day of the week and twice on Sunday.
I don't know.
Let's see about that. Geraldine's gonna do a spinning kick to kick the sword out of her hand.
Nice.
Okay, so if you want to kick the sword out, this will disarm it, but you won't be doing any damage to the thing. So if that's the call you want to make, you can totally do that.
But it's at least helping to disarm it. And then I want to use one of my special abilities, which is pirouette. On your turn, in addition to your action, you can attempt an additional attack in the form of a spinning kick or acrobatic maneuver of your invention.
Absolutely.
And it deals some damage.
So let's go ahead and make your first attack first as you're trying to disarm the Dark Chocolate Knight. Okay. Go ahead and test. I'm going to say this is testing resolve because this is a strength to try to get this thing out of this thing's hand.
Amazing. Oh, no.
No, baby, no.
That was a nat 20.
Here come the dice.
I just fully stab myself with this.
Here they come.
Actually, I'm going to need you to make a grace check as you slip on the pee and begin to fall towards a tile that is trapped.
Oh, grace is my worst one.
No. Oh,
which
no.
is ironic given my skill set. No. I have a 14 and I have to get below a 9.
Y'all want to throw some hard dice at it?
We'd have to at least two.
Yeah, I think we have to.
Who wants to throw in hard dice?
I'm throwing out first.
I'll throw in one.
This is a D4 that's reduced, right?
Yeah, go ahead and roll a D4.
I got a 3.
Okay. Now okay, we just 14 need a 2 down from to 11. Somebody.
Okay, I'll roll one.
Come on, Danielle.
I got a 3.
Okay. Adelaide and Winnie, describe how you redirect Geraldine so she doesn't fall on one of these trap tiles.
With close-up magic, I hope.
Yeah, I'm going to grab my silks from out of my dress. And I'm just like unfurling them kind of one by one. And then I like throw them around and like use them almost like like a hammock.
You guys just see Adelaide pulling silk after silk out of her sleeve and spinning it around like a lasso, swings it around. Winnie, you grab onto the other side and both of you pull Geraldine up before she falls face first.
Where does she keep them all?
They're such pretty colors.
It's wild.
Geraldine, as you get pulled back up, you immediately swing around, pirouetting. Go ahead and make your second attack with your pirouette ability.
So,
come on, baby.
The unfortunate thing about the pirouette ability is I have to test my grace, which again is not like this.
Just not another 20.
Not a 20. It is a 15.
Raya!
We've already used so many hard dice.
What do you have to get to?
9.
Ooh, that's tough.
I know.
Oh, that is a tough one.
If someone else wants to spend a heart dice, Celine is a princess herself and has her own heart dice that she can lend.
Okay.
Celine is going to like try to turn towards you and try to like open up the hand as best she can. Rolls a heart dice, gets 2. So knocks off 2 from that 15 down to 13. Amira, if you want to do it, you'd have to roll a 4.
Come on, Amira.
Okay, I'll do it. Good I'll job. Do it. No, I'll
You're
do
so
it.
You're so brave. Come on, Amira.
So brave.
No pressure.
Yeah, I rolled a 2.
Damn it.
Okay. As you swing into the Dark Chocolate Knight armor, your foot goes just wide as it pulls back and you are not able to connect.
Okay.
Amira, it is your turn. What do you want to do?
Hello, unicorn. Wait one second. Celine, you're going to hit us, right?
Again, I am not going to hit you. The armor, like, I will be... Yes, I'm going to hit you. I'm going to hit you. And I'm really sorry about it.
Not great over here, Amira.
Yep.
It's not
okay,
great.
Okay, yeah. I can see, Geraldine. Okay.
I beefed it.
Celine. Okay, Geraldine, I get it.
I whiffed it.
Okay, yeah, I saw, I was there. Okay, Celine, will the unicorn leave? Can the unicorn leave this room? Do you have control of the unicorn?
I can't control it. It kind of goes with the armor, so it's going to do whatever the armor wants to do, but it will always stay nearby the armor. It's always following me.
Okay. You wait here, unicorn. I'll be right back. Okay, Celine, I'm going to... we're going to...
As if the unicorn's being calm right now.
The unicorn starts right. Moving back to charge towards Amira.
Oh, no.
Hey, bad. Wait. Okay. Geraldine, what was your plan?
I was just trying to disarm her, and I don't know, I thought maybe if I spun fast enough that I'd create enough kinetic heat that it'd help melt it. I didn't expect to see Celine.
You want to melt it. Kinetic, okay. You want to melt it, okay.
I run hot. I thought it might work.
I run hot?
What do you mean you run hot?
I just, don't you ever wonder why I'm never wearing a coat?
No.
Look, I bet Matt knows.
Oh!
Hey, whoa. Why, okay. Why am I catching strays?
Amira, help!
No, yes, I'm coming. Just you. Why didn't you ask me if you, I have torches if you want to melt the chocolate. Why didn't you just ask me when you were going?
I'm not on my A game.
Okay, Geraldine, it's okay. It's okay. Just stop crying.
I blame Brownie.
Stop crying. Yeah, blame.
What did the dog do?
He peed.
He peed everywhere. That's what happened. You didn't see? Geraldine slipped on the pee?
The disrespect of it.
Okay, I'm going to take a torch out, follow the little pee trail, mm-hmm. and I'm going to start melting Celine's chocolate armor. Unicorn, you stay there. Wait for me.
Unicorn just rears back and starts like kicking its back leg like a bull.
No. No.
Oh, no.
No. No.
No.
Bad unicorn. No. Bad unicorn.
Don't make me come over there.
Winnie, you just hear in your translation, you just hear, I'm the bad guy. It starts racing after Amira.
Bruh, I have to turn around and just stare at him like, really?
It's a bop.
It's a bop.
It is a bop.
Amira, you light the torch and you're going to make an attack on the armor?
I suppose so, Brian. I suppose so.
Go ahead and test resolve.
Now, if I do this, can I melt it faster if I add some like fuel to the fire?
I'll just give you guys the mechanics of what's happening here.
Okay.
By using fire, by trying to melt the things, by doing attacks that could potentially melt it, you ignore its armor.
Oh.
Which makes this thing, as you know from your previous battle, has an armor of 3, which means the damage you're doing is going way down every time. So you'll be able to kill it much faster.
Dope.
You are getting the sense as you begin to move this fire towards it, you see it instantly recoil in a way that is unbefitting like armor of a knight of this nature. Like you've only seen this armor move in like this like regal knightly epic manner. It moves back like a scared child. I think you recognize in this moment that like melting it could destroy it in a way that it would not reconstitute.
Ooh.
Wait a minute. What happens to the unicorn? Celine, if I destroy the armor, will the unicorn go away?
I don't really know how it works.
God, what?
I don't think they're connect. Like, if the armor gets hit, the unicorn doesn't get hurt. So I think as long as you just kind of like focus on the armor and don't hit the unicorn, but the unicorn's going to keep trying to hit you. I don't know if they're connected. Like, I don't know what happens when you split one, but I don't think the unicorn's going to die if you kill the armor. But also, I don't really care right now. I kind of like to get out of the armor.
Right.
Okay.
I'm kind of recognizing there's kind of a subplot here that I'm not aware of.
Yes.
Also, I'm curious about this Matt guy. Who is this? It's clearly kind of like some kind of love triangle.
Oh, you don't remember Geraldine's old...
We've got a lot to catch up on, Shalee.
So much to catch up on.
So much.
You've been doing this chocolate stuff for a while, huh?
Yeah, I've been doing this chocolate stuff for a while.
All right, I rolled a 7, Brian.
Hell yeah. Good job, Woo! Baby.
All right.
Go ahead and make a damage roll. I'm going to go ahead and call it a D6.
Oh, okay.
Mm-mm. You got this, Amira.
Come on, Amira.
I rolled a 2.
That's something.
We'll take it.
Yeah.
We'll take it.
You push this torch into the dark chocolate armor, and you see it begin to recoil as there is now a huge patch of melted and burning chocolate that is slowly like dripping down onto the floor.
Ooh.
Ew, it's mixing in with the pee.
It's mixing with the pee.
I was going to ask. Thank you. Thank you.
It's also like hot. So now you're getting like hot, even hotter pee. You know what I mean? Yeah. No. It's there's some bummer of smells going on in here.
Oh, so it smells like someone lit a candle in like a bathroom.
Yeah.
Yeah. That feels painfully authentic. Yeah.
Amira, anything else you want to do on your turn?
Can I try and glue the armor down with a jar of superb glue?
Do you have superb glue?
What is superb glue?
It says it in my stuff. I don't know why it's here.
I'm so glad that it is, though, Chinook. I'm so glad that it is.
I don't know why it's here.
But it's here.
Superb glue.
Superb glue.
I just got it.
Wait, don't get it yet.
Superb.
Like super?
Superb
glue.
Brian, you can cut this later.
No, you can't.
No, I can't.
It stays in.
That does not get the end.
You made it funny. If you'd made it boring, I would have cut it, but you made it funny.
God damn it. I'm beefing it left and right.
Amira. Amira, you could certainly try. I'm going to say I'll let you do that on your next turn if you want.
I bet that's what you would want me to do.
going back to the top of the order, Adelaide and Winnie.
Okay, so we've got fire taken care of. Is that melting all of the armor, or like would it help if I applied more fire?
Ultimately, in terms of the like mechanics, you've got to reduce this the HP of this thing down to zero.
Mm-hmm.
So it's okay. It's gotten hit, but you see it's only a small section of it that is starting to melt. So definitely like doing more damage to it will help.
Okay.
This episode was brought to you by the World Builders Club, a project of Working Families Power, an organization building power for the multiracial working class. The World Builders Club is your go-to dispatch for breaking down the political, cultural, and emotional architecture behind your favorite universes. From romantasy novels and TTRPGs to blockbuster franchises and indie gems. This isn't just pop culture analysis. It's a love letter to the art of creating worlds and the power those worlds have to shape our own. I'm a huge fan of post-apocalyptic world building, so I recommend starting with their piece, We Can't Stop Watching the World End, which talks about properties like GLaDLands, Fallout, and Silo, and what they have to say about humanity and our ability to imagine a world after the apocalypse. But any piece on World Builders Club is going to be a great read for those of us who love to imagine better worlds. So join the club and build a better world with them by subscribing at bit.ly/WBC many-sided or by searching World Builders Club on Substack.
What happens when a chosen one decides he'd rather make pastries than fulfill prophecies? He opens a bakery. Absolutely No Adventures is an audio drama that follows Chosen One Sig as he dodges quests alongside his eldritch horror baking assistant and isekai'd New Yorker witch friend. In each bite-sized episode, he has a new epic adventure to avoid at all costs, while making friends and a few enemies along the way. Check us out on your favorite podcasting apps for breads, pies, cookies, cakes, and absolutely no adventures.
Cool, so I have those matchbooks in Close Up Magic where you can push a match through it. And so I light one of the matches and then set the matchbook on and set, and then take my silks and I light like my silks like on fire.
Not the silks.
Yes. Ropo fire.
Okay.
Yes.
And then kind of use that center of the matchbook. Would I light it on fire with the thing and then like toss it at the dark chocolate?
You're just throwing it at me and Geraldine are right there.
Yeah, I'm whipping it so it gains some momentum.
And you've got your weapon is the slingshot, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, yeah.
It's what you do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I can sling a shot.
You pull out like a book of matches, light up this magical thing, briefly have a match that like goes through the matchbox. Ooh.
Still distracting.
And then like kind of wrap this around in these very silks that immediately go up and then fling this thing at it. Go ahead and make an attack.
Okay.
I believe for range, you're going to be testing grace.
I rolled a 9.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
We are Gucci.
That's a d4 of damage. I'm going to say because this thing is on fire as well, go ahead and roll a second d4.
Let's go.
Yes.
I rolled a 4 and a 1.
Okay, nice. Hell yeah. As you... this thing splats directly in the center of this armor, and then the silks kind of like flap around it in various ways, almost like partially enveloping it. So now there's like various sections of it that are like burning and scarring and melting. Yes. As you see, this thing is taking a large hit going directly through its armor. Anything else you want to do on your turn, Adelaide?
How's that corrupted crow doing underneath my foot there?
Still wiggling around. If you try to move without like securing it in some other way, that crow will kind of come out and like maybe have an attack or something.
Okay. Is there anyone I can help? Is there a help action of some kind I can perform?
You can pick up feathers.
You can pick up feathers.
Oh yeah, we still need those.
We need those feathers.
Perfect. I will go pick up feathers and hopefully they are not covered in urine.
Or melted chocolate.
It tried to get a clean one.
You have a miss or two before you find a clean one. But you grab a clean feather and a couple of extras just in case. And you have some of these white chocolate feathers, this last ingredient for the sleepy time tea that you know plays some kind of role in getting into Dulcinea's bedroom. You'll figure that out later.
Yeah.
Winnie, what do you want to do?
The ghost at this point should be my grasp, correct?
Ghost is like right there. Go ahead and make a resolve check with advantage just to like get this thing in your hands and have control over it.
Ooh, I needed the resolve, honey. I rolled a 15 over 14 and then a 6 under 14.
Yeah, you reach down and grab this thing in your hands.
Okay, so my fingernails almost elongate into claws as I kind of like imprison this thing. I reach through the tactical bird cacophony.
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 Thank you.
There it is.
Thank you for seeing
me. There it is.
Yes. I see you. I see you.
Bravo. Bravo.
I see you.
My talons are getting ready to go completely through ghosts because I'm completely over this goddamn bird at this point. But then I remembered the last time we killed it, all the feathers disappeared too, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so close. You guys can see the talons getting ready to just squeeze all the way in and rip this bird in half. And then I was like, nope, we're going to hold on to it. Brian, let me know how creative you're going to allow me to get on this one.
Sure.
The other, so creative, so brave.
So brave.
So brave. So brave.
One of the abilities I haven't used yet is my level 2, which is a roar, which is you let out a bestial roar, one some creature or some creature that can hear you save or become terrified for dice round.
Yes.
Can I target the chocolate armor?
Yeah.
And if I can target the chocolate armor, can I roar so loud that it enhances the spread of the fire and doubles down on the terror that it feels? Fear has a very distinct scent. Can I play into that somehow mechanically?
The wind of the roar fanning the flames.
I'm renaming that. Wind of the war fanning the flames.
Oh. So roar lets you, you can do the sum number of the dice. Will have to make a save to become terrified for dice number of rounds. So if you rolled 2 dice, they become terrified for that number of rounds. So you could have this affect multiple creatures if you want. If you want to only target the armor, I would make you roll 2 gift dice.
Okay.
You will be able to try to get it to make a save to be frightened. If it fails that save, it will also take an additional D4 fire damage.
Okay.
That reacts to it being like terrified and moving in a scared way.
I support this narrative. Let's see it.
Hell yeah. So first off, go ahead and roll me your 2 gift dice. Also, everyone just keep a lookout. If you roll doubles, there's going to be a mishap.
Yeah.
Just to clarify, I can target the armor as an opponent. Can I also target the bird in the hat and the ghost in my hand with this as well?
So you can do one of 2 things. If you want to target multiple opponents, you won't be able to do damage with this. You'll just be frightening. Okay. If you want to do damage as well as frighten, I'll only let you target the armor.
That's incredibly fair. My next question, and I did try to look it up and I just didn't see it. What does the terrified condition do?
Hey, you know what I was just looking up? I'm going to say this is going to give it disadvantage on resolve.
I like it.
Which is the weary condition, but I'm also thinking of resolve as like, it's your resolve to stand in front of like a terrifying creature.
Mm.
So if it fails its save, it's going to get disadvantage on that.
So I'm going to take option 1, which is going for the additional damage. On my gift dice, I rolled a 4 and a 1.
Woohoo!
Okay, so the 4 is going to get expended, so set that one to the side.
Yep.
So normally you'd be able to affect five creatures. Because you're choosing the second option to do some damage, you're going to do some damage.
Okay.
You rolled two dice, so it's going to be terrified for two rounds. So it's going to be rolling with disadvantage on resolve checks. So basically its main attack checks for two rounds if it fails this save.
Okay.
Its save number, monsters in this game don't have three stats. They basically just have one stat. It's their save number.
Okay.
Its save number is 13.
Okay.
Wow.
And it's rolling straight.
Okay.
That is an 18 over 13.
Yes! Thank you, Dice.
Winnie, what does this roar sound like? And how does this armor begin to react?
Oh, yeah. No, I love it. So I think I have Ghost in one hand. I'm going to tripod bound into like the first square so I can get line of sight directly on this armor. Just the pieces that Amira have pulled and Adelaide have pulled where this, you know, it's kind of like separating. Almost think of like that yak we used to play with as kids where you stick it to a wall and then you start pulling it off.
Like silly putty? Yeah.
Like silly putty in a way. Yeah, but I think it was actually called like lime green yak. Whatever it is.
Milky chocolate. It was gack, wasn't it?
Gack!
Gack! Gack! Gack.
I'm going to focus in on a roar, but I am keeping all of the heat centered, so it's coming directly out. It's this hot breath, and I can't beat Wind of the Roar, Fanning the Flames, developed and written, signed off by Abby.
Hell yeah.
So I think there's this ferocity of heat just pours out in a direction and begins to dance and move and spread these flames as that terror, because I know the scent of fear, just dives deeper into like the molecular level of this armor.
Go ahead and roll that d4 of damage for me.
I hope it's fun. It's not. It's just a one.
Okay.
Brick by brick.
Brick by brick, baby.
Brick by brick.
As you let out this bestial guttural roar, the hot breath blasts forward. There is so much wind and power coming from this roar that the fans are flamed. That the flames are fanned, that the fan, it literally fans the flames of this fire.
There you go.
It literally fans the flames of this fire, and you see it flicker and grow around this thing as this silk that is wrapped around various parts of the armor begins to glow red and then white hot as the chocolate is melting faster and faster and dripping. You see Celine inside is kind of going like, okay,
warm,
it's fine.
Warm.
That is going to be the Dark Chocolate Knight's turn. You see a large chunk of this armor is melted at this point. It is looking bad.
Good.
Celine is going to roll to attempt to restrain it. If she fails, it is going to attack. She's testing resolve. She succeeds. Fuck! I really want this thing to hit you guys. I should have put in this mechanic to let her hold it.
No, Celine.
Hoisted by your own petard.
By my own petard. She holds it down and is trying to keep it as steady as possible. Amira, you see behind you, the unicorn kicks up and charges towards you.
No, come on.
Amira, as this unicorn is attacking towards you, you see the path that it is taking.
Uh-oh.
If it continues on the path it is taking, it is going to trample on some tiles that will activate the trapped tiles.
That's not what we need.
You can roll this check as normal to avoid, or you can roll with disadvantage to bend it around and try to get it on a path that is better for you guys.
Oh, God.
I want to hit someone.
We know.
Let me hurt you.
Fine.
A little bit.
Fine, Brian. I'll play your little game. I'll roll a disadvantage.
All right. You're testing Grace with disadvantage to avoid.
Oh, man.
Okay. I rolled a 4.
Okay.
And then I rolled a 15.
What do you have to get to?
12.
Can I roll a hard die?
Yeah, you can roll a hard die.
Okay. It's a d4. So you need
15 to 12.
You need
a 3 or a 4.
3 or 4, okay. It's a 1.
Do I have any hard die left?
Just to clarify, it comes back with a short rest, right? Not an overnight rest. Like, can we sit here in this room for 20 minutes and get the hard die back?
I don't want to spend the next 20 minutes in the chocolate pee room.
Yeah, it has to be this room.
Smells like burning now. Yeah. Like, it also smells like burning.
Maybe that's helping.
It says, once you spend a hard time, it's gone until you rest, which is a long rest in this game.
that I'm going to save because I don't think we're going to have a chance to do a long rest, right?
That's true. Probably not.
Ooh.
Oh,
save it.
Wait, I might throw in on it because I don't want another combatant in this room right now. But I have to hit a 2, right?
You got to hit 2, 3, or 4, so just not a 1.
It'd be really funny if you rolled a 1, though.
You know what? It's going to be good stories either way. I'm going to drop this hard dice.
The dice will tell the story. They'll love it.
All right, guys. We're sending thoughts and prayers here. This is a tactical decision. It's a tactical choice. I rolled a 2.
Woo!
Okay.
Okay.
Between Geraldine and Winnie, how do you help redirect Amira a little bit to avoid this attack?
I think the tail end of my roar is just going to catch this unicorn to divert it at least away from one of the squares it was heading towards.
That got me.
The pure force of the blast just like blasts it to the side. I think even knocks Amira over a little bit, so the unicorn redirects. Yeah.
What the hell?
I was gonna say Geraldine just sort of like dips you to dip you out of the way.
Ooh. Yes.
And throw the unicorn off.
Hey Geraldine. We haven't done this in a long time.
A lot of this battle is operating on very like feeling very much like a fencing match. Like there are so few areas that you can go. It's very like back and forth as this unicorn is like going past, and Amira, you're like dancing around it and trying to not fall over onto another tile as it like swings past you. You feel the sharp point of its horn like slide past your back as you move to the side.
Oof.
That is the knight. That is the unicorn. Ghost is going to try to escape from Winnie. His save is 5, but you know, never know. His save is 8. That's a 16, not even close.
Good for him. You stay right where you are, you little brat.
And then we'll check the bird. Nope, not even close. You guys are making all the right moves to avoid this thing getting worse, but that does not mean it is over. Geraldine and Amira, it is your turn.
Come on, guys.
Geraldine's feeling a little embarrassed by whiffing it so hard last time.
I love it when you talk in a third person, Geraldine.
You biffed it.
When I'm embarrassed, I try to separate, you know, the embarrassed me and the me.
Yep.
Yeah, anyway, I feel like you got this, Amira.
Do you want me to take the embarrassment out of you? Do you want me to just pull it out of you?
We don't have anywhere to put it. We don't have any bottles.
Oh, yeah. Drop it on the knight, on the armor.
Yeah. Just
terrified and embarrassed armor.
I got this. I can do something.
Come on, Geraldine.
I want to do my nimble ability.
Yeah.
Which allows me to attempt combat antics like shoving, tripping, acrobatics, or grappling.
Sure.
And then I can modify it using gift dice if need be. I'd like to grapple the unicorn.
Yeah, go for it.
Oh.
So this is going to be a resolve test.
That's great news for me. Okay, all right. That's an 8, baby!
Yes. Woo.
Hell yeah, so you don't even have to modify this with your nimble ability.
Okay. Amira, I'm going to use it as fuel for my own fire, the embarrassment.
Do you, queen?
Heave-ho! And she's just going to leap forward I don't know any football positions. Running back? I don't know.
Yeah, that's a position.
That's a
Do
position.
They tackle people?
No, famously, nope. Not really. I mean, they can, but it's not traditionally their term.
Famously.
She's going to barrel forward, being very conscientious of where the pee is, to try to grapple the unicorn to have it stay like in one place so that it can't charge at someone.
You get your arm around the neck of this unicorn and are holding it in place as best you can. It is a large creature and it is like trying to buck you. You see, as you are doing that, its horn, this like candy swirl horn, begins to glow. And you see that this unicorn is charging up some kind of magical ability.
Oh. I didn't know it could shoot lasers. What?
You gave me wrestling a unicorn and now you're taking it.
Ren.
Hey, it's still happening. Ren. But, you know, it's charging up for a big ability, a finishing move.
Uh-oh.
Geraldine, anything else you want to do?
I want to try to figure out how to make this unicorn start crying. And the only thing I can think of is if I've got some onion in my pocket, can I pull it out? But I don't have, it's not like in my stores, so I don't know that that's fair.
Geraldine, what are you doing?
Geraldine, I'll let you roll with disadvantage.
Okay.
a wits test. Just to see if you had foraged for some wild onions.
I canonically forage.
You do. This is honestly, with anyone else, I would not let them do this. But because you canonically forage, I will let you make a test for it.
Well, with disadvantage, you said?
Disadvantage. I'm going to say, I won't say no hard dice for this. But okay. Yeah. Make okay. your test. Make
okay.
Your
test. We gotta beat a 12. That's an 8.
Okay.
God damn it.
And a nat 20.
Okay.
Not only do I not have onion.
Not only do you not have
onion.
Or I
onions, rub onion in my own eye. I don't know what I say.
You start crying.
Oh, no.
You start crying. Yeah. My God.
You don't have onions. You start crying. And you find you only have an apple.
What? Geraldine, stop crying.
Oh, damn it. It'll be so happy to see this apple.
Geraldine, help me melt the armor. What are you doing?
I got my hands full. You seem to have a grasp on it.
We could. I need to. What are you doing?
Amira, it's your turn. What do you want to do?
I look at Celine. I'm like, hey, but I don't think we've said it yet. We're sorry for not coming sooner, by the way.
You see her, like, fighting against this armor still, like, also trying to avoid the fire. Listen, it's fine. I know it was tough to get, like, Connie was stuck, and it was tough to get communications out. I wasn't even sure if my letters made it to you. You know, I'm just glad you guys came at all. You know, we're going to have a great reunion after this. It's really nice to see you guys, but I'd really like to get out of this armor.
Right. The armor.
The armor.
I pull out, like, my extra torch. I'm like, Geraldine, when you're done with the unicorn, help me melt this thing next time.
Yeah, sure thing.
If I try to super glue this thing, will it make the checks for Celine easier?
Yes. You're going to try to cover this thing in super glue in a way that it like impedes its movement.
So the way it's written in the book, superb glue holds anything in place and can only be unstuck through magical means.
Oh, this is like a magical item type thing.
Yeah.
I thought you just had a tube of glue.
No,
I thought you were doing some shenanigans.
It's a thing where it's like if the armor's stuck in one place, Celine could like wiggle. Would it make it more brittle?
So, okay, yes, this will be able to like stick two things together. I'm going to make you tell, because this is like a tube of glue, you have to tell me two like distinct things you're trying to stick together. So like hand to floor, foot to floor, elbow to elbow. And then I'm going to make you make a grace test to try to like get in there and stick these things together, or either grace or resolve.
Okay. So like I'm trying to do back to floor. Does that count as one?
I think if you want to, I think you then have to like tackle. So it's got to be something it is currently standing or is like kneeling and is trying to like get up.
Mm. Okay.
So you got to get something that's like reasonable to move quickly with, if you want to do this with only one check.
Okay. I'll try and do the knee that's currently on the ground.
And get it stuck to the ground.
And get it stuck to the ground.
That's smart.
Hell yeah.
That's really smart.
I think what this is going to do, rather than help Celine hold it back, because you're doing knee to the floor, it is going to make it unable to move and will give it disadvantage on its attacks. So if it breaks through, it will not be able to move, so it'll be stuck in place, and it will have a harder time hitting you.
Okay. Fair.
Okay.
Tough but fair, Brad.
I would say this is grace rather than resolve, since you're trying to like slide in there and stick it to the floor.
All right, sure.
sure.
I rolled a nat 20.
Jesus Christ!
Oh, no! Here come our dice. Ready to go.
You need new dice. What the hell?
I stick myself to the floor.
We're doing so great.
You know what? I was going to make you do something else. I like you sticking yourself to the floor way better.
Yeah, that's valid.
Oh, man.
That's valid.
It is very apparent that Amira is not going to fall on one of the bad trap tiles, because Amira finds herself stuck to the floor, kneeling directly in front of the dark chocolate knight.
Oh, that's amazing.
They just look like they're having a moment, like kneeling head to head.
Oh, no. Oh, no. I beefed it. Geraldine, I beefed it.
I beefed it.
I spilled the glue all over myself. My knees are stuck to the ground.
All you hear in response is just like wrestling grunts. Can't get away from me.
My God.
I think, Amira, as you got closer, you realized the thing that you miscalculated was that the fire from the flames that were around the dark chocolate night dried this thing a lot faster than you thought it would. So you sit down for a moment and it like instantly heats up and dries.
That's good.
Shit.
Back to the top of the order, Adelaide and Winnie.
you see the dark chocolate armor, heavily damaged, wrapped in this fire, is like moving back a bit afraid as you guys are attacking with fire. Selene is trying her best to like force her way out of this. The unicorn's horn is glowing as it is being grappled by Geraldine, and Winnie has Ghost in her hand. You see the gummy bear, the licorice snake, and the dark chocolate dragon egg still remain inert as you guys are very carefully staying on the paths marked with piss by your loyal dog, Brownie.
What exactly do unicorn tears do besides, like, cure the mad curse?
Unicorn tears are an incredibly potent and powerful item for a lot of different types of spells and concoctions and, like, potions. You know that they are able to, like, break curses. They are able to heal ailments. There's a world where they're like able to do like significant amounts of like physical healing. And they go great in cocktails.
Delicious.
Gorgeous. So what I'm going to do, Adelaide sees, I'll see if you'll let me do this. Adelaide sees that the dark chocolate knight is like, Selene is still fighting, but we don't know what this unicorn's going to do when their horn is all charged up. As part of Adelaide's ability to do close-up magic, she also knows how to cold read.
It's on the character sheet, Brian.
It's on the character sheet.
I'm just going to flip through the book a little bit.
It's written in the book.
I just think that if I can do close-up magic, I also would have learned how to cold read, right?
It stands to reason, Brian.
It's kind of what I think.
All right.
Yeah,
I see where you're going, but I'm gonna make you walk me the whole way there.
Adelaide turns to the unicorn, still using this is still part of alluring. Adelaide turns to the unicorn and just says, like, I'm seeing something, Mr. Unicorn. I see something in your past. Is it something with like the letter F? Is there something within you with like the letter like F, Mr. Unicorn? That's my opening volley. It'll get there.
Answer her, you unicorn!
Answer her, you unicorn.
Answer her.
You see, the unicorn is like, the horn continues like charging up. You see like, you know, there's the various spirals going up, and you see like the first part of the spiral has gone up and it's like charging up the second part of the spiral. It kind of turns to you as you're saying this. And begins to like shake its head up and down just a little bit to nod in the affirmative.
I'm seeing an F. Oh, is an F is someone that you lost. It's someone that you've lost that you really cared about. Father, maybe. Maybe F stands for like father.
Or friend.
Or friend.
Or foe. Or frenemy.
Frankie.
Francis.
You see the eyes of the unicorn narrow a little bit as it looks you in. The horn continues to charge up. I'm going to have the unicorn make a save against this.
Okay.
It's a save against crying?
Is that
what you're doing?
Against close-up magic.
This is going to be essentially a save against this ability affecting it.
Okay.
So I will say, unicorns, very magical creatures, have a save of 16. So it's got to roll high to fail.
Okay.
But forcing it to make a roll at all is, you know, it could always happen. That is a natural 2.
Ooh.
Okay.
That's fine.
So it saves against this ability and begins to just look at you and then goes.
Okay.
Try another letter. I don't think F was it.
Yeah, could it be? Well, maybe like friend, not father, but like friend could be it. Like someone you were close to, like a close person to you. Could that be?
It's kind of like looking at you. Daniel, where are you going with this?
I got it. Trust me, I got this.
I believe in you and I want to follow you there.
It's going to get somewhere. I have a plan.
It begins to look at you and just kind of like narrows its eyes and kind of like nods up and down a little bit as it's still like bucking against Geraldine this whole time that the horn's charging up.
You lost this friend and it was someone really important to you, someone that you miss. Yeah. Did this friend pass away? Maybe this friend died. Yeah.
This whole time, it's kind of like you're reading its yeses and nos and kind of like guiding it in a certain way. And by the time you hit like you lost a friend starting with F, you see it kind of like get kind of still and stop bucking Geraldine just a little bit.
Oh.
Oh.
Oh, I'm so sorry. You know, as part of my work as a magician, I have the power to sense. Danielle's laughing at Alex, not laughing. I have the power to sense energies around you, and I just want you to know that your friend says that no matter what you've been through, no matter any corruption, they still love you and they're thinking about you and they're with you all the time. Your friend is with you all the time.
As you are trying to read and pull a tear from the eye of this unicorn, I'm going to let you do this. But I'm gonna make you roll a skill check for it. Go ahead and roll a wits test. I'm going to say because it succeeded on its save, it is fighting against it. You're going to be rolling with disadvantage. But
okay.
It just be extremely clear. If you succeed on this roll, the unicorn will cry.
Okay. I'm rolling with disadvantage. The first roll is a 5.
Okay.
Good. Come on, baby.
13 meets it, beats it.
Woo! Oh, baby.
And this is where the unicorns cry.
Around you, you hear the struggle of dark chocolate armor beginning to try to fight against Celine. Celine grunting and moving. You hear Brownie running through piss all around. You hear the flapping of Ghost as he's trying to escape from Winnie's grasp. You hear all around you sounds of this battle happening, and the unicorn all of a sudden just... A moment of stillness between Adelaide and the unicorn. And Adelaide, in this moment, you actually hear in your mind the voice of the unicorn. Almost like fighting through. You see it's like around its eyes are like crusted with like sugar crust from this candy curse.
My mate was once called Francine.
The F.
She was the best of us. She had 3 horns. She was beautiful.
Oh.
Triceratops.
What the fuck is that?
Geraldine, it's not here. She doesn't hear any of this.
There's a code of silence. There's a beautiful code of silence that is happening in a moment out of time as this unicorn looks to Adelaide.
For over 2,000 years, we roamed these woods together protecting them. I lost her long ago, and I feel as though I've lost her now, having failed to protect these woods. Please, I see what you're trying to do here, and I wish I could help. I see that you're trying to protect these woods. What can I do to help? There's not much that I can. My body is moving against me from this curse, but is there any way I can help you?
I think you just think of Francine. Adelaide is now being genuine. It hurts her. You think of Francine. You think of everything that you've lost. You think of the last time that you saw Francine. You think about how you feel. You think about the beautiful memories that you had. And you think about how you would best be able to honor those memories. It can be very bittersweet. And it's an act of really just like letting go. And then, you know, if you could just, like, cry or something.
You see this unicorn tensing and still bucking, like, its body moving independent from its mind against Geraldine. For a moment, slackens just a little bit as you hear in your mind's eye,
I've been fighting it down for so long and I didn't want to think of it. And maybe you're right. Sometimes it's time to let things go.
Ooh.
Yeah. Oh.
And Amira, you see... One of the rarest gifts on this planet, on this earth, in the world, in the multiverse, you see a drip of a tear from a unicorn's eye. More valuable than gold or diamonds or friendship or love, a single tear beginning to fall down the face of this unicorn. Amira, just to be clear about a time thing to this, you have a tear present for you. You have to collect that tear. If it falls to the ground and mixes with piss,
It will no longer be good.
You'll have to get another tier.
The piss turns to water.
No, that just, it just makes it.
Guys, I'm stuck to the floor. There's a chocolate. Hold on. No, let me just see. Yeah, I'm stuck to the floor. Celine's in chocolate armor and she's about to hit me with her stuff. Geraldine's wrestling the damn unicorn. Why is now the time we have to make the unicorn cry?
We'll work it out.
Also, just a question, and this might have been a gamble on my part. If the unicorn is crying, even though the tear obviously has to fall, wouldn't just like touching it get rid of the unicorn's corruption?
Wow. All right. I see what you did there. Wow.
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 It makes you think, Brian.
It really makes you think.
You know, I really cannot fight that. That's great. That's rad.
Brilliant. Oh, my God. I was ready to be like, does Geraldine have a hanky and she can soak up the tear and then we can wring out the hanky later?
You can still do that. You can still do that because it's touch. It has to go down the unicorn's face. You can still have the tear.
True.
Yeah.
But then the unicorn's no longer corrupted.
As the tear begins to fall down this cheek, you see it like almost is forced out of this like crusted over eye that's like covered in almost like a rock candy type of crust around its eyes. And it begins to fall down. And as it does, the sugar and various like elements of chocolatification begins to melt away. And you see puffing out from this like line of destroyed corruption is the beautiful fur, the beautiful mane of a unicorn. Rather than being like a white mane, you see tracks of white, but then you see yellow and blue and orange and purple. And you see that as the corruption begins to melt away along the track of this tear, a rainbow colored unicorn begins to appear to you.
Whoa.
The corruption beginning to pull away from its fur. As this is happening, Geraldine, you see the horn begins to slowly unglow and it stops bucking or like slows its bucking. For the purposes of this, the curse is beginning to fade. It is not going to be able to like act on this turn as it is like transforming.
Mm-hmm.
But you have eliminated the curse from this unicorn. Because this unicorn is no longer like bucking against this, you see the tear begin to fall. It is now a trivial matter to collect this tear as the unicorn begins to recognize what is happening here and begins to tilt its head so that the tear kind of collects on the bottom of its mane.
Oh.
However, the knight is still fighting against you. There is still inert enemies around you and Ghost is still trying to break out of Winnie's grasp. Winnie, it is your turn.
There's a moment of pause where I'm listening to this story and I'm hearing the confection and my heart swells. And then I just look around at our situation. Geraldine is grappling a unicorn for what reason I don't understand.
It made sense before.
Amira has stapled herself to the floor for some reason I don't understand.
Winnie, I beefed it.
Adelaide is over here collecting tears that we could have gotten in 20 minutes after the threats were done.
Yeah.
There's three golems waiting to come out to kill us. This bird is not going to stay in my hands forever. And Celine is still under attack. So there's just this moment where I'm just like, and yet again, I don't know how they get up in the morning without me.
No, I was doing the right thing. I just beefed it.
I am going to bound on top of Amira because I know that square is safe. And like, while I'm on all fours on Amira, I'm going to attack the armor with fire that we haven't done in the last 30 rounds.
Okay, yeah, go for it.
I rolled a 3 and it's 4 points of damage.
Oh, man.
Hell yes.
The Winnie rant.
Winnie, you leap forward, bounding on top of Amira, who is like kneeled down, using Amira as a springboard. What are you using for the fire? You like grabbing a torch or something?
It's literally just one of my torches.
You bring down a torch directly onto this dark chocolate armor. Winnie. This dark chocolate armor had exactly 4 points of health remaining.
Hell yeah!
Thank freaking God.
Winnie, please tell me what happens as this dark chocolate armor is not just defeated as it was before, but is rather destroyed.
Oh, I love it.
Damn.
Quick question before I go into the narrative. Is there any
hangnail at the end on what happens to the chocolate? Does it disappear? Does it, or can I take full credit on that one?
You could take full creative control on this. It is bested and will not reconstitute. You tell me what that looks like.
Oh my God.
Oh, that's amazing. So after I go through my internal rant of irritation with my sisters,
what?
I'm going to strike open this torch. I'm going to go into a running gallop, which is going to land with my two and a bird, unfortunately, front on the back of Amira's shoulders, where my I hunch down and my weight comes down. So those muddy boots that were stuck in the dirty mud from outside that probably have some dog pee in it and some chocolate are going to catch on the back of Amira's lower back. I'm going to spring forward with ghost screaming in one hand and a flaming torch in the other, and I come straight down the center of this chocolate knighted armor. There's nothing spectacular about its destruction. Everything just liquefies and then turns to dust.
Whoa.
As you spring forward, ghost in your hand, just going, no, no, just leave me back there. I don't want to be involved in this. You come down, torch, almost like you are unzipping this armor. Splits it in two, just skirting Celine, holding on. Like, Celine kind of moves back against the back of the armor as it splits open and then begins to melt all around you, forming this just massive pool of chocolate that for a moment hardens and then, like dust, scatters to the wind.
And as it's scattering to the wind, I absolutely do like the three-point turn, and then I roar, and it looks just like every Tyrannosaurus Rex roar from Jurassic Park.
You roar with like the chocolate dust, like it's pushed up behind you with the weight of the roar. And then, yeah, a big banner that says Dulcinea's Castle flutters behind you.
Flutters down behind you.
She's just so incredible.
Did you have to do that while standing on top of me?
It adds to the overall effect, Amira.
The banner lands on her face.
Don't fight it.
The camera just slowly pans down. Amira is just like, oh, come on. You've got like a boot on the side of Amira's face.
Come on.
There's pee on your paws, your hands.
The dark chocolate armor defeated the unicorn, now free from its corruption, and all of you standing on piss-covered floor, which is the safest place you can be in this room. Adelaide holding onto a clutch of white chocolate feathers, Winnie holding onto a big handful of a white chocolate raven, trying to flutter out, going, come on, just let me out of here, man. Listen, Dulcinea wasn't really my favorite anyway. I'm just kind of hanging here. And Amira with her knees stuck to the floor with this superb glue.
Yes. Oh, man.
You guys see your friend in front of you for the first time in a very long time. Celine kind of like gets off the floor, kind of dusts off a bunch of like chocolate dust off of her clothes. Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. You guys, you're the best.
Amira's hugging her legs right now.
We miss you.
She's hugging her legs. Yeah, you guys all going for a group hug, and Amira's like down on the bottom.
Group hug!
Can Geraldine, before she's still just sort of hanging from the neck of the unicorn, can I have taken out a handkerchief and like soaked up some of the tears?
Yeah, you go to soak up the tear, and actually, rather than soaking up, it beads like a ball of mercury on your handkerchief.
Oh, nice! Boba ball.
And you're able to like pick it up and maneuver it freely.
Wow.
Nice.
Amira, she dishes really cool.
Okay, be careful. Don't drop it.
Oh, never mind. Sorry. Oops, okay.
Oh, no.
Geraldine.
It's fine now. I've recovered. I'm not beefing it anymore. She is going to, though, wrap it in the handkerchief and sort of stick it in a very secure inside pocket. And then carefully step on the appropriate squares to get over to Celine to give her a hug.
You carefully move along here. All of you kind of embrace as you see your friend thought dead, alive in this place and alive and well, though maybe a little bit worse for the wear.
Yay.
I don't know what happened. I asked the Malefic Mirror how to break the curse and... We've got to get something from Dulcinea. We've got to get the Rat King's tail.
We've got a lot of it.
You've got it?
Well, some of it.
What do you have? Did you get the ring from the Earl King's hand?
Yeah, Adelaide got that one. Unsurprising.
Yeah, we've been super busy.
Awesome. I mean, this is great.
We got the Rat King's tail, and now we're here. We got to get the last thing from Dulcinea, and then, you know, we got to go put it all in the well. And, oh, Celine, it's just so good to see you.
It's great to see you, too. Once you guys bested me in the forest, I reconstituted here, and I've had a little bit of time. I was able to explore the tower a little bit. I don't know what item we're looking for from Dulcinea. Like, there's a bunch of, you know, knickknacks and paddywhacks here. I don't know what we need.
Yes, you always had a way with birds. speaking of Dulcinea seeing this forest of... well, we took this from the unicorn saddle,
and I'm going to show her the silver moon necklace.
Oh, I thought I lost. Thank you. She takes it and begins to, like, clip it around her neck. My sister has the other one. I treasure very few things, and this is one of them, so thank you.
Oh, well, I'm glad we stole it then.
You know, when you put it like that, maybe I shouldn't be thanking you quite as much.
No, I'll take the thanks. But that's, Celine, how much of your situation were you conscious? I mean, did you know it was us that we fought in the forest? Or I know you weren't in control of yourself, but how much are you aware of what's going on?
I was aware of everything. I was stuck inside this suit of armor that was moving around me. I mean, I was just trapped. I guess the Malefic Mirror thought that was the joke, I suppose. I asked how to break the curse, and it put me into the curse. Honestly, I've just been patrolling the forest with this dark chocolate. I could kind of understand its intentions. Like, it was looking for more people to kidnap or children to kidnap. It was trying to make more soul sugar for Dulcinea. Like,
I'm sorry, did you say soul sugar?
Yeah, I found a few notes in Dulcinea's study that were talking about, like, she was trying to create soul sugar, and somehow that would, like, help her attain a longer life. I never really pieced it together. I only had a little bit of time before the legs reconstituted and led me back up here to, like, fully replenish. And when I beat her the first time, we just fought, and I bested her, but I guess that wasn't enough.
You know, the bear and the snake and the egg, are they soul sugar?
To the best I can understand, Dulcinea was kidnapping children in order to, like, use them in her magic in some way. She was creating this sugar to create these constructs. So, like, these things, you know, I don't know how much she ever got them to work. She kind of gestures around. There's, like, the gummy bear and the snake and dark chocolate, like, dragon's egg. She created them. I don't know to what degree they're, like, functional or anything.
I'm not that interested in finding out the answer to that question.
Yeah, neither am I.
If we open up the dragon's egg, would it have like a creamy custardy thing inside?
Does it say Cadbury on it?
Does it say Cadbury on it?
It absolutely says Cadbury on it.
Yes.
Oh, if you look just right at the bottom, it's hard to read because this is in script.
It only says Cadbury if they pay us.
My God.
Yeah, it says Cadbury and then a hyphen, then esque. If you want to get rid of the esque, Cadbury, let us know. So we have the Rat King's tail, we have the ring of gold from the Earl King's hand,
yeah.
And then we need some kind of magical item or something that possesses Dulcinea's essence. I don't really know what that was going to be. I mean, maybe a hat or something? I don't know.
Well, actually, when we went to the Eternal Ball, we met somebody who'd sort of done a trade with her, much cooler than a hat. It was a magical necklace of... Well, when you get the details, I think... It was a perifect part.
Mm-hmm. Close. It's the so-called Periette.
Yeah.
That's what we're looking for. And we have a pretty good read on where it is right now. And I'm just going to shake the bird in my hand a couple of times just to get a few more feathers.
Why? She has them. She has the feathers. What? You see, the bird's just looking at Adelaide, who has like a clutch of feathers in her hand. Come on. What are you doing?
Just disorienting the bird a little bit. Then
Jesus!
So we know how to get to where this periapt may be, but we don't really know what's on the other side of it.
Celine kind of looks at you guys as you guys are explaining like the so-called periapt and seeing it in the tapestry downstairs in the study,
mm-hmm.
with this like younger, beautiful version of Dulcinea. Yeah, I mean, so-called periapt, that sounds kind of sufficiently magical and vague and a bit ominous. That's
That feels like the thing, yeah.
Yeah, you know, perfect trifecta.
Yeah, trifecta for, you know, all the bad things you don't really want.
Right, right, right. Well, speaking of bad things we don't really want, do we maybe want to try to creep out of this room? It's I don't know how much of a danger these
please.
Sugar beasts are, really. Celine, you said you just weren't sure.
To my knowledge, they are inert unless the trap gets triggered, and then who knows what comes to life. That's honestly, it's just what the raven keeps telling me. He gets bored and he starts yapping. I haven't triggered it myself, but I believe him that it's going to be bad.
Yeah.
And you see the white chocolate raven's just like, listen, it's what's going to happen. They're all going to come to life. I've seen it before. It's fucked up.
Oh, no.
Have you been beyond the painting, Ghost? Have you been to the other side, to Dulcinea's bedroom? Or what's on the in the beyond?
Yeah, once or twice.
How about you talk us through that as I'm, like, holding the bird straight up walking out of the room?
Okay, calm down. Listen, there's no love lost between me and Dulcinea. She's fine, but, you know, when you get a feather plucked from you every night for some sleepy time tea, that can get old pretty quick, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
All you do, you make some sleepy time tea, and you drink it as you're going through the tapestry, and that gets you into the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's all that's there? This is just a bedroom?
I mean, it's her bedroom. I mean, she's got a bunch of, you know, magical stuff in there. Yeah, as far as I know, it's not really trapped. It's getting in there is the hard part, you know what I mean? Last I saw, she still had her younger construct in there. She had it set up before this one, pointing to Celine.
Oh.
Defeated her. She was half an hour away, probably, before she'd be able to transfer her soul into this new body. And, you know, bingo bango, start a whole new life as a young, hot version of herself.
Okay. So on the other side of the tapestry, we use the sleepy time tea to get through, and we're just able to walk right back out. You were able to fly right back out without any other issues?
Getting out ain't the hard part, you know. No one really cares about, you know, how to get out of your bedroom. You don't want people getting in, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Brian, point of clarity, from the reading and the research and all the stuff we got, is this construct something she crafted, or is this a missing person?
This is something she crafted. I think you saw, okay, especially down in, like, the experiment room, that Barbie box that was holding something up.
She made this body. Okay.
She made a new body out of sugar and out of this, like, soul sugar. And it is, like, okay, laying dormant in a position to, like, be awakened, receive a soul. And she was but moments away before Celine slew her and then, like, laid this curse upon the land. What you are seeing in this tapestry is, like, the precipice of victory.
Mm-hmm. Mm. We've got to prepare ourselves to, you know, sort of arm up. We're going to make the tea and maybe have some sugar and water don't seem to mix too good. So maybe having some of that.
Also, probably should unstick a mirror.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, be really helpful if anyone could help me. Still stuck down here.
If you're cool with losing the knee of your pants, I can use my knife, slice real thin.
Yeah, that's fine. It's covered in, I think, piss too anyway.
All right. Well, I'll wash the knife after.
I'll wash the knife. I'll rinse the knife off. It's fine.
It's fine. Yeah, we'll just scrub it, you know.
We got it. You're good.
You slice off the knees of Amira's pants, and now Amira, you're just rocking kind of like a knee pad look. It's kind of like, yeah, it's got a little like skater boy look.
It's
a bit
sort of punk. It's cool
punk rock.
Yeah, maybe the kids will start doing it.
Yeah, it's distressed.
Yeah,
all right, we should go in there prepared for everything. I'm not going in there without Matt.
I was gonna say, this doesn't follow the trajectory of most princess storylines, but we could probably use all the help we can get, and I don't want to go in that room and we not get out, and Matt never has a chance at reforming back to his human self.
Yeah.
Do we think we could go back and get him?
No, I can just use my Matt whistle.
You what?
Wow, you have him trained like that? Just kind of...
Dang, girl.
No.
I'm not judging you guys. Love how you love Amira.
Walk him like a dog. Walk him like a dog, baby.
I mean...
Love how you love...
How do you get your men to come to you?
Yep. Nope, it's not with the dog whistle, but you know what?
Or lovers, or whoever.
We're pretty single, the rest of us.
Might be, actually.
Amira, I think, yeah, you're realizing everyone else here is very single.
Yeah.
Hold on. Wait.
Just sort of rocking, you know, the single gal vibes.
It's kind of like, wait a minute, is Amira actually the one in the healthiest relationship?
Yeah, okay.
Because it's the only one?
Also, Brian, I think in the last talkback we talked about retroactively letting me leave my magic rope for Matt and potentially Spot to cross.
Yes, I did. In our Patreon exclusive talkback available at patreon.com/manysidedmedia. Go to the dice pool. Splash.
Splash.
You asked me if you could have left your magical climbing rope behind so that a horse could potentially tightrope walk across it.
Reasonable ask.
And they're doing it very slowly and very carefully, which is why we had to leave.
Yes.
They're doing it very slowly and very carefully. I'll say as you blow your mat whistle, you hear...
The whistle is like a wooga. Wooga.
Yes, yes it is.
Ah, that kind of whistle, okay.
You hear downstairs two mint chocolate constructs go...
Do you have the password?
Oh, God, and I run downstairs. I'm down downstairs. It's all fours. I'm booking it downstairs.
Wait, we know.
Clear that nonsense.
Winnie, you run downstairs. Shout out Marvelous Marzipan again.
Marvelous Marzipan. Sorry, he's clear.
Oh, sorry about that. Sorry. Come on in. It's a party today.
These guys are great.
Man, I love these constructs.
Yeah, I want to take them with us.
I do too. They're great.
We're just having fun.
They're great.
They kind of part ways, and Matt comes into the study as you guys are all gathered down here looking at this tapestry.
Hey, Matt. Geraldine, give me the.
Oh, yeah, okay. It's here. Here you go.
Thanks.
I wrapped it real nice. It's like a gift.
Okay, thank you. I unwrap the tear, and then I go into one of the... I get one of, like, the empty bottles out of Matt's thing, and I put the tear in. I look at Matt, and then I kind of sit there for a moment, and then I pull out an emotion from my head, and it's, like, all... It looks very... It's very soft and, like, tender and sweet. It's not like the rage you've seen. Mm-hmm. It's, like, a mix of colors, and I put it in the vial with the unicorn tear, and then I look at Matt... And then I only need Matt's tears now, so I'm going to use my ability tears. Mm. Spend time empathizing with someone until you cry. Dice enchanted tears. I'm going to cry with Matt, so we both have our tears going the thing.
I feel like we should just sort of let them, we should maybe leave.
Oh no, I want to watch.
It's better if you watch.
I want to watch.
An extremely intimate moment as like Amira rests her head on Matt's head, and they both just like communicate silently. As both of them start shedding tears, and you just see tears running down both their faces and dropping into this bottle, this concoction of emotion and unicorn tears, and now tears of Matt and Amira.
Oh man, I really want to give you this, Matt, but I think you'd be moistful as a horse in the thing before I... But if you want to take it, Matt, you can have it. I'm just saying...
Bruh, what?
You can choose.
Bruh.
And Mary, in this moment, you kind of like turn to Winnie as Matt kind of looks to Winnie and goes,
I'm very excited to be a guy again, but also I recognize that some troubling and terrifying times are coming ahead of us. And if I can be of more use as a horse, I would be happy to be a steed for this party of princesses.
Obviously, after that, I do want to be a guy again. So like, we're putting a pin in that.
Okay, we can do that. What they hear is...
Adelaide, what do you think he's saying?
And I do the heart hands at Matt.
That looks like a good sign.
Put some hooves up as well.
The two hooves come up and they click together.
I think he's trying to do it back.
Like a mating dance?
I mean, I don't know. I don't want to watch that.
I might sit through that.
Amira, you get like a big nuzzle in your face from Matt. As you recognize in this moment that, like, Matt's ready to go with you on whatever journey you need to. You guys have a future together that is made in this bottle. Doesn't mean you have to take it right now. Matt's fully trusting you to do what you think would be best in this moment.
I love you, Matt. Even if you're a horse.
Big horse lick over across your entire face.
Mm, yeah, I'm gonna miss those.
Okay, that was... Okay.
Not in a weird way, not in a weird way.
You made it weird. I'm sorry, Amir. You just made it...
No, it's cute. It's a cute thing.
We have different definitions of cute.
It's like when a dog licks you.
Yeah, okay.
A dog that's your boyfriend?
I know, that's where the line is different.
We don't do any... Anyways, stop watching. Jeez, okay, Matt, it's going to be a guy, you know... He'll be a guy in a little bit. After we beat Celine, Not Celine. Sorry, Celine.
No, I get it. I did fight you before, and it's a whole thing. Yeah,
that trauma's real. We haven't healed from that yet. It's fine.
Yeah. Let's just go into the tapestry, finish this job, and then we can get home, and life will be normal again, and we can go to Tony Spagoosh's, and I'll be unbanned because we saved the town, and maybe I'll get rebanned again.
A gal can only dream.
Sounds like a good plan.
Celine looks at a mirror and goes, you know, even if you save the town, Tony Spagoosh has a very long memory. I don't know if this is going to actually bring you over the top.
That was your fault. I got banned anyway.
Sorry.
You guys see this tapestry in front of you. You see the path that you must take. Do you guys want to rest before you go in? There's no necessary time frame. The only thing that will incur is you'll have to roll on the candy curse die to potentially advance the curse in the town. So if you're willing to take that risk, you're more than able to take a long rest here.
This is the 11th hour. I don't want to be cold, but if we do lose somebody, this is going to be our only opportunity to bring any of them back or to stop this from spreading. And if we go in there underpowered or under-resourced, we might fumble everything.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right, Winnie. We got to brew the tea and gear up, and I think it's a risk we have to take.
And maybe it'll be someone who sucks.
Maybe.
You guys lay down in this space and begin to rest for a bit. Because I'd actually forgotten to have you roll for this before, I'm going to have you roll two of these checks.
Mean.
I'm catching up for lost time. Winnie, would you like to roll the first one for me?
Damn it, I haven't rolled one yet. I was hoping to get away with it.
If it wasn't for you meddling kids.
You're rolling a D8, just don't roll a 1.
All right. 7.
Hell yeah. Whew. And Geraldine, why don't you roll the second?
No, thank you.
I kind of hope it's a 1.
A 3.
You guys have rolled a lot of these.
Yeah, we're doing well.
Over the next few hours, you steel yourselves, rest up, regain your heart, regain your gifts, regain your vigor, and prepare for what is to come. You prepare yourselves, you brew a sleepy time tea, you mix in the feather of a white chocolate raven, and you pass through this tapestry. In this room, you see a very quaint and lovely, well-adorned bedroom, some kind of locked trunk at the foot of a very large bed with great banisters, a very grand four-post bed with kind of gossamer curtains over top of it. And laid out on this bed is a beautiful young witch. The visage of Dulcinea that you had kind of seen or understood, but lacking all of the malice of her intense studies in the dark witchy arts. You see this construct almost not fully complete in a way that her chest is kind of like open. Like there's almost like a hole in her chest and slightly falling into that hole is around her neck, around a simple cord, this so-called periapt, glowing blue and kind of pulsing slightly.
Oh boy.
You see that this body was never quite completed. You see that this hole still remains and this necklace is wrapped around her neck.
We're going to take the necklace and she's going to wake up, right?
No.
If you want to roll a like wits check to kind of like see what's what with this construct, you're more than welcome.
Oh, I'll go for it. I think we all should. success here.
You see this construct is incomplete. I think the thing that you recognize about this construct is it is not able. Like the reason that, so ultimately what you see here is you see the soul called periapt. It's glowing blue and there's like a swirl of energy in it. You recognize that within the so-called periapt right now is Dulcinea's soul.
Oh.
And the fact that it has not taken in any way means that this body is incomplete. Like that this piece is here and that this body is not activated means that this equation was never completed. This item that is wrapped around the neck does not have a host in this body and will not be able to find one. And you almost see like it happening. You almost see the soul kind of like going around the necklace, like the cord of the necklace, and trying to insert itself into the body and getting rejected and trying again and getting rejected.
So follow-up question here, Brian. This formula is incomplete. If one of us picks it up, will that be a completed formula?
I think the thing that you recognize is all of you are complete vessels. Like if you want to look at your body in that way, you could not force another soul into a body. I think the thing that you recognize is this is a system that is currently like in stasis. This cycle will continue and continue and continue and nothing will happen. By removing it, a new system will have to be formed. That energy will have to go somewhere. You don't quite know where, but you recognize that there is something that will happen. I don't think you can recognize in this moment what it is. I think the things that you definitely know are a second soul cannot occupy a body. That is something you recognize to be true. And I think you also recognize that unless someone comes in and completes this body, this soul will not insert itself into this body.
I think we might just try to take it.
Okay. Amira goes and takes the soul.
Wait, Amira, wait!
Amira, you reach down into the chest of this construct of Dulcinea and you pull the soul called Periapt from its neck. The cord around the back snaps as you pull it off and the blue pulsing begins to vroom, 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 and begins to spin around. It flies out. This viscous, milky soul energy begins to move around and fly. It slides itself directly into the chest of this construct, but you see nothing is taking. This thing is not able to complete itself, and instead the soul begins to bounce around the room. It smacks into each of you, and it just feels like mist going through you, not able to find purchase, and it begins to move around and finally flying through the tapestry.
No, damn it.
Above you, you hear as this thing just flies around room, smashing into things, looking for a vessel until you hear. There's a very small sound, a sound that there's no way you have heard before. But the second you hear it, it is unmistakable. You hear a very small crack. And then another. And then another. Though you have never heard it before, you can feel it in your bones, in your very essence. The fear and the terror of a dragon's egg cracking open.
Yep. Yep. That's valid.
And that is where we'll end this episode of My First Dungeon. Perils and princesses.
Thank God we have a horse.
And a unicorn, hopefully.
They famously do great against dragons.
Right. Jesus.
Should have ate that sad berry egg.
Tune in next week on My First Dungeon and see if this party of princesses can defeat a resurrected Dulcinea in the form of a dragon.
Oh my God, it's so good.
And as always, remember, if you're having fun, you're already doing it right. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye. We need help.
Bye.
Send more horses.
This season of My First Dungeon is sponsored by Tabletop Bookshelf. Tabletop Bookshelf is one of our favorite online game stores and offers a curated selection of indie tabletop RPGs and solo games delivered to you with care. Use code PERIL15 to get 15% off of Perils and Princesses, Sweet Revenge, or any other game at tabletopbookshelf.com. This episode features the voice talents of Brian Flaherty, Abby Hepworth, Bridget Jeffries, Danielle Radford, and Chinook Tissera. Editing and sound design by Jay Stroutman. This episode features a theme song and some original music by Behold. Additional music and sound effects provided by Artlist.io. My First Dungeon is a many-sided media production. If you want even more My First Dungeon, join our Patreon to get access to the cast talkback for this episode, which sounds a little something like this.
Now we're dealing with a unicorn, we're dealing with a gummy bear, we're dealing with a licorice steak, which is two bad things in one. And, you know, and also possibly the Sadberry Egg Dragon. So I was like, I gotta neutralize.
Sadberry Egg.
And remember, if you're having fun, you're already doing it right.